You're listening to the weekend edition of The Michael Duke Show right here on KFAR 660 AM, the heartbeat of Alaska.
Dr. John Lott is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's an economist and a world-recognized expert on guns and crime. He's had positions at the University of Chicago, Yale, the Wharton School in Pennsylvania, Stanford University, Rice, and he's currently a commentator on Fox News. And he writes he's got an op-ed up in the Wall Street Journal, which we're going to talk about today, dealing with concealed carry and so on. His latest book he's got, of course, More Guns, Less Crime, The Bias Against Guns, and The War on Guns. He joins us right now to talk about these issues and more. Good morning, Dr. Lott. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, great to talk to you again.
Thanks for coming in. So this is a very interesting piece that you've written in the Wall Street Journal because it deals specifically, I think, with a lot of the inherent biases that we're seeing in these, you're calling them the media capitals, but basically these major urban progressive areas of these big cities kind of dictating to the rest of America what they think is right or what they think is cool. But the statistics don't seem to be matching up to that.
Well, it's just that they don't have much experience with people being able to go and have guns. So you look nationwide, they're about 16.3 million concealed carry permit holders, plus you have 14 states, including Alaska, which either in all the state or virtually all the state don't require that people have to have permits to be able to carry. If, on the other hand, you have places like California, New York, Washington, D.C., where they literally only have about 3 people with permits per 10,000 people.
Right.
And, outside of those 3 places, over 8% of the adult population has a concealed carry permit, and even more are allowed to legally carry. And so, it's kind of alien to people who live in the media capitals of New York City or D.C. or Los Angeles. It's just kind of hard for them to understand what it's like, and they have this illusion, I think, to some extent, about permit holders being, committing crimes and doing other bad things that simply don't match up. Permit holders are incredibly law-abiding, losing their permits for any reasons at thousands or tens of thousands of a percentage point for any firearms-related violation.
Right.
And, in fact, are less likely to be convicted of any type of crime, let alone firearms violations, than even police. But one of the things that, go ahead.
No, well, I see. That's one of my favorite statistics, quite honestly, is because, again, they all treat anybody that's got a firearms permit like there's some kind of gun-toting cowboy that's going to shoot up the whole place at the slightest provocation. And yet the statistics show that a concealed carry permit holder is more law-abiding than a police officer.
Well, I mean, police officers are rarely convicted of any type of crime. And police officers are extremely important in stopping crime. But even though police are very rarely convicted of any type of crime, it's still interesting to see the very low rate that civilians are. One of the other things that I found very interesting in the data that we were looking at is the changing composition of people who have concealed carry permits. We've seen this big explosion in permits overall. You go from a decade ago, in 2007, there were about 4.6 million permit holders, to now there's over 16.3 million. That's almost a fourfold increase in a decade. But the demographic changes have been dramatic. You have we have good data by gender and race over the last 4 years, and from 2012 to 2016, while there was a 22% increase in the number of men who had concealed carry permits, there was a 93% increase over that period of time in women getting concealed carry permits. And blacks
right.
Increased relative to to white.
That's the amazing part. And what really shows me again that kind of the market will out as far as a free market kind of thing. The demand is there because we're talking about minorities who don't have access to, you know, that they're having to protect themselves in a lot of cases because they live in higher crime neighborhoods, or women who are, you know, who are less, physically weaker, generally speaking, the women and the elderly, than a lot of these male predators out there. These are the ones that are taking the action to defend themselves. And it's becoming more, really becoming more mainstream at this point.
Right. Well, I mean, one of the other things is just to compare these types of media centers that we were talking about before, these so-called May issue areas versus the rest of the country. And these places which are heavily Democratic, you have to go and demonstrate to some local public official that you have a good reason for having a gun for protection.
Right.
They basically only give permits out to wealthy, politically powerful white males.
Yeah.
And we had data from Los Angeles County where we actually had the names of all the permit holders there. We went through it, and while 36% of permit holders nationwide are women, only 7% of the permit holders in Los Angeles County were women. While you
right.
have half the county in Los Angeles is Hispanic, only 6.5% of permit holders in Los Angeles County were Hispanic, and only 5% are Black.
Right.
You know, it's, you see the same type of thing in New York City. You see heads of labor unions very frequently have concealed carry permits. Arthur Sulzberger, the publisher for the New York Times, has a concealed carry permit. Donald Trump has a concealed carry permit. Liberal actors like Robert De Niro has a concealed carry permit. Howard Stern has a concealed carry permit. But you basically have to be somebody who's politically favored by politicians or others in New York City or Los Angeles or D.C. To be able to go and get a permit to protect yourself. The poor Blacks who live in high crime urban areas, their chances of getting a concealed carry permit are zero. I mean,
right.
simply living in a dangerous area gets you nowhere in terms of
right.
getting approved to getting a concealed carry permit. And even if you're not kind of on the politically correct side of the issue, even having multiple death threats won't get you a concealed carry permit.
Right.
In the report, we list a number of people who live in these areas who had received serious death threats and had asked to get a concealed carry permit and been turned down. Whereas other people, like these heads of labor unions or others who hadn't received any death threats, didn't have any problem getting a concealed carry permit because they were kind of the right people.
Right, politically connected at that point. The most startling statistic that I saw in the article here was, like you said, nationwide, it's more than 8% of adults have permits. And, of course, that means that more than 8% are carrying because a lot of states now have the right to carry. But in Los Angeles, there was only 226 permits for 8 million people. I mean,
right.
that is startling right there.
Right. Well, I mean, it made it easy to check the list of names to see who was able to go and get a permit.
You could definitely see who was connected there. Pretty easy to Google all that down, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it took a little bit of time, but, you know, they made it easy for us by only having relatively few names there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll give you another example. You look at sure. San Francisco County, for a number of recent years, there's only been one person who was granted a permit in all of San Francisco County, and that was the private lawyer for the sheriff.
Wow. Well, it's good to know. I guess it's good to know which side of your bread is buttered. And it seems like in a lot of these cases, it's only getting worse. And that makes it difficult for average people to be able to defend themselves And in some cases, it's like they almost want to build a wall outside of these media center areas. You make a note that, you know, New Yorkers must be terrified when they visit Pennsylvania. They're on the border because 13% of adults there is composed. They have 5% more permit holders than there. And then in Potter County on the New York state line, they say they got more than half the adults in that community have permits. They must just feel terrified when they walk into that town.
Yeah, well, probably New Yorkers don't visit Potter County. But, yeah, that's the only county I was able to find that had over half the adult population with concealed carry permit. But, you know, Pennsylvania has about 1.3 million concealed carry permit holders in the state. And, you know, you go to any restaurant or any movie theater or any grocery store, it's very likely that somebody else there in the facility is carrying a concealed handgun, and nobody knows who they are, and it's not a big deal. People don't think twice right. about it.
What does this data tell you overall, Dr. Lott? I mean, when you look at this, you look at where it's going, I mean, is this good news for gun owners overall, even though the media centers continue to hold out? Is this good stuff? And where does this data lead us down the road?
Well, I mean, I'm particularly heartened by the fact that we're seeing this kind of huge increase in women and minorities getting concealed carry permits because, as you correctly talked about before, you know, those are the types of people who benefit the most from having permits, people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime. You know, poor minorities who live in high crime urban areas, or people who are relatively weaker physically, women and the elderly. And you know, we've seen surveys that show that women and blacks' views on guns in terms of making them safer have been changing significantly. We've also seen big increases in Asians and American Indians. You know, obviously, they're not a huge number of American Indians, but the percentage change there in Asians for the few states that actually break out that data for those categories, those have been the biggest minority group increases that we've seen in concealed carry permits.
Right, so it's right.
Pretty broad ranged in terms of minorities. Blacks are... grew about 30 percentage points faster than whites in terms of concealed carry permits. And now they make up about 11% of permit holders nationwide.
Dr. Lott, can we change gears just for a minute here in the last 2 minutes of what we're doing? You had actually linked me the story. I got a chance to read it this morning from the Alaska Dispatch News about the new research into Alaska's high rate of gun deaths. We've got quite a few. We have a really high suicide rate in this state, but we also have a huge rate of gun ownership as well. And you're looking at these, you know, this brief thumbnail of what's going on. What were your thoughts as you looked over the statistics in this story in the ADN?
Well, it was really poorly done research. I mean, it's pretty commonly known why rural states that have high gun ownership rates also have high gun suicide rates or high suicide rates generally. And it has nothing to do with the gun ownership there. It has to do with things that cause people to go and commit suicide. So, for example, in relatively rural areas in the United States, you have a real imbalance for older people in terms of gender. Men vastly outnumber women in those areas. If you have a farm or something and the man dies, the farm usually is sold off to somebody else and the woman moves. But if the wife dies, the older man usually stays there and tries to continue running the farm. People are relatively lonely in their old age like that, feel isolated, and having depression is not a particularly surprising or unusual type of problem that happens there. You have similar types of factors that exist in Alaska. You have a real imbalance in terms of gender for older people in Alaska. And you know, there's lots of good research unlike that they were talking about. It's disappointing that they don't go and try to you know, talk to some academics who would be critical of the public health type research there, that would go and say, look, there are lots of ways for people to go and commit suicide. Even if you take away guns, people will find other very similarly effective ways to go and commit suicide. And, you know, so it's not going to go and change the suicide rate by going and taking away people's guns.
Yeah, I thought that the most problematic comment was at the end where they quote the police chiefs or the lieutenant of the homicide department here at Anchorage Police Department. And they basically says, well, a lot of people carry guns. It's just like a credit card. If you're going to spend with it, if you've got a credit card, if you've got a gun, you're probably going to use it, which I think is a reckless comment, to say the least. If you're going to commit suicide, you're probably going to commit suicide, you know, whether that's with guns or anything else. I mean, we know Japan has almost no guns and they've got one of the highest rates of suicide in the civilized world.
Yeah, well,
you know, it just to me, that was kind of a reckless statement.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. The vast majority of suicides occur inside people's homes.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not really sure what the point of claiming concealed carry, the fact that people are carrying around their guns, means that they're going to use it to go and commit suicide. You just don't see people committing suicides outside their home. I mean, it happens rarely, but as a percentage of suicide, you're talking about something that's in single digits in most parts of the country.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the reason why people carry is to prevent violence from occurring, to be able to go and protect themselves. I mean, if somebody were to take a concealed carry class, one of the things that's going to be pointed out to them is that you're not the police. Your job isn't to go and arrest people. The benefit that you get from having a concealed handgun is to maximize the distance between yourself and the criminal. And that's particularly important, as you were mentioning, for people who are relatively weaker physically. If a woman actually ends up getting into physical contact with a male attacker, she's in trouble at that point.
Yeah.
The benefit of having the gun is to keep him away and to keep him from getting into physical contact with her.
Right. Absolutely.
And the vast majority of people use guns defensively, they don't fire. 95% or so of the time people use guns defensively, simply brandishing a gun is sufficient to cause the criminal to break off the attack.
Yeah, somewhere around 2 million times a year is what a lot of the numbers I've seen say. Dr. John Lott, Crime Prevention Research Center. You can find him at crimeprevention.org.
Crimeresearch.org.
I'm sorry, crimeresearch.org. I apologize. Dr. John Lott, thank you so much for coming on and joining us. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks
for coming on. The Michael Duke Show continues. Your phone calls and more on the other side right here.
Your mental suppository.
The Michael Duke Show.
Thanks for listening to the weekend edition of The Michael Duke Show, right here on KFAR 660 AM. Up next, it's Finer Things.